This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. One of the first works you meet in a new art exhibit called 30 Americans is named Sound Suit. The core of the piece is constructed of a slender mannequin. Its facial features are obstructed by a larger-than-life bouquet of flowers in full bloom that coil around the figure from waist to head. Colorful hosiery and socks with wild patterns peek out from beneath the massive floral arrangement. Sound Suit was created by artist Nick Cave, an African-American sculptor. Cave is one of many contemporary black artists featured in the traveling exhibition 30 Americans. A number of pieces in the exhibit overtly address the experience of being black in America, but others like Sound Suit may or may not be related to African-American identity, at least at first glance. As a whole, the collection prompts the question about African-American art. Is there such a thing? And are there advantages or disadvantages to bearing that label? 30 Americans is currently on display in Raleigh at the North Carolina Museum of Art. And joining me now to talk about the exhibit is Richard Powell. He is John Spencer Bassett Professor of Art and Art History at Duke University. Rick, welcome back to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's delightful to be here.
Also on the phone with us and returning to the program is Titus Brooks Hagens. He is a photographer based in Durham. Hello, Titus.
Good evening. Or evening. How are you doing today, Frank? And hello to you, Rick.
Hey. Good to talk with you. Rick, pieces in this collection belong to the Rubel family, but aside from donating the art, the family's role is influential. Tell us a bit about this exhibit, 30 Americans.
Well, first of all, I'd have to say that one of the things that one wants to keep in mind when you see the exhibition is that it's a private collection. And with that in mind, one has to be prepared for the very personal kind of idiosyncratic taste of the Rubels. They're a delightful family. Don, Mira, Jason, and Jennifer, they live in Miami, Florida. They have an amazing eye for contemporary cutting-edge work. And I was really pleasantly surprised when I heard that the exhibition was coming to the North Carolina Museum of Art, because as you might know, contemporary art sometimes rubs people the wrong way. And yet this is a show that opens up your eyes and your minds to all the possibilities that might come under the category contemporary.
Under many categories, I think that's what's interesting about it. We think about the category of contemporary art, how we can think about that. It's called 30 Americans. It features 31, in fact, African Americans. So it gives us a number of contexts to consider, right?
Absolutely. And I think that they chose to focus on a number and a nationality as opposed to an ethnicity or a kind of a racial category, because when you see the work, as you describe so brilliantly, you're almost like an art historian of that Nick Cave piece, that, you know, you can read it as a work that might have something to do perhaps with an African past and masquerading, or you can look at it not in that way, as something that is much more about the kind of fantasia and imaginary of clothing and masking and the body.
And yet, Nick, Titus, I should say, it is curated as the works of 31 African Americans. Is there something to be gained by this, to collect the works of 31 African American artists and allow us to contemplate the various experiences of various African American communities?
I think personally it's important to really take notice of the name of the show, which is very clearly 30 Americans. And I think that naming it simply 30 Americans rather than 30 African Americans is something very distinct and intentional that the Rubels were attempting to do in putting together this exhibition. Of course, I feel they absolutely succeeded in doing that, but I do think that it is important that we note that it does say 30 Americans.
Is Titus, in your case, is the label an African-American artist something you embrace, something you reject, something you wish someone wouldn't impose on you?
No, that's not necessarily so. Certainly, I consider myself an African-American photographer, but most certainly I operate outside of those confines or whatever that structure may be, in that I not only photograph African Americans, I also photograph Latinos, I photograph Asians. My work is global. I've worked in Asia, Central South America, and the label of African American is in some ways very limiting, or at least publicly, I think it's limiting.
But does it matter at all when we look at these works of art that we know perhaps what perspective it comes from, Rick?
See, I think it's important that we get as much information as possible about the works, including their creators, in terms of where they were born and raised. I mean, I think all of that information, of course, you're talking to an art historian, so I tend to want to have all of that information. At the same time, I do think that there was a strategy and a method in calling this 30 Americans, because it forces audiences to come with an open mind and to really engage with these works on any number of levels. There are aspects of some of these pieces that do speak to an African-American identity, but one could also say that there are a lot of other things happening from piece to piece to piece.
Well, let's talk about some of the works themselves and the artists from different generations represented here, too. We have painter Robert Colescott, who was part of the African-American art scene in Paris in the 40s. Rick, tell us more about him.
I met Robert Colescott in the late 70s. I was an art student, and I was visiting in Oakland, California. And I remember one artist taking me to his studio. And he then, and he's not with us anymore, he's deceased. He was a delightful man. And he's kind of known as one of the early bad boys of art. In the 1970s, he was doing these paintings called bad paintings, meaning that they were very expressively painted. He wasn't really tied into naturalism. The bodies are much more distorted and expressive. And he often has humorous bad jokes contained in the pieces. One of my favorites in the show is a work called Modern Day Miracles, and it's a painting that was done in 1988. And it to describe it for your audience, Frank, it's a good sized canvas that has this black woman hugging a Jesus like figure in the middle of the canvas, and then surrounding her are all of these little moments in her life, under the dryer with hair rollers, fish frying on a oven. I think she's talking to someone about possibly, you know, buying a lottery ticket. I mean, so it's clear that Colescott is playing around with this idea of the possibility of a miracle in the midst of a major economic downturn.
Yeah, and satire is one of the things he's known for, and a painting that I'm at least familiar with, and maybe many people know this painting, many more people than some of the other works, George Washington Carver Crossing the Delaware.
A very challenging painting when it came out. It's hard to describe other than we're looking at an all-black cast of characters, and they're represented in a somewhat stereotypic way, which I think made people have a lot of questions about where Colescott was coming from.
Well, let's talk about another artist who passed on, Jean-Michel Basquiat, who is got a start in New York, found fame as a graffiti artist, but died very young, 27 years old when he died.
Yeah, he was what we call a wild child. He lived in the Lower East Side in the 1980s. He was part of that whole loft scene of artists making artwork based on graffiti and real rough and expressive kind of wall painting. And the art world needed a kind of a young Turk at that time period. I mean, the kind of mainstream art scene was kind of getting very morbid. And Basquiat, with his kind of locks and kind of streetwise style, just literally turned the art world upside down. And the piece that's in the show, one of my favorites, is a self-portrait. It's a little painting from the early 80s, and it's very graffiti in form, bright colors, real kind of rugged and expressive brush strokes, a figure that almost looks like a little monster. But it really captures that moment. And these are some of the earliest pieces in the show that you've just described.
Perhaps, Rick, we should make certain that we mention that this is an abbreviated exhibition, because the entire 30 Americans show is quite extensive of pieces of work. And while there's only one Basquiat that's in this show, I believe there are probably about maybe four or five that are in the full exhibition.
There is also photography here, Titus, which I'm sure you're interested in. Hank Willis Thomas, tell us about his work.
Well, Hank, of course, obviously is the son of Deborah Willis, but his work has been very important, I believe, really took the photography world kind of by surprise. He won the first Aperture Book Prize, and that should have been in when, Rick? Was that the 90s, I believe it was?
Yeah, late 1990s.
Yeah, that was in the late 90s, and he's actually just moved on quite a bit from there. Now, the works of his that are in the show are, there is one in particular that's part of the work that's called Branded. And also with Branded, there's also work that talks about the death of his cousin. When Hank was 21, his cousin was shot in a robbery, and he created this piece of work that's absolutely amazing, that speaks to the cost of death in America.
Yeah, and the brand in this case is a Nike symbol branded to the scalp, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then we certainly want to mention the MasterCard image that's on the funeral photograph.
Of course, one of the complaints, you mentioned this earlier, Rick, when we talked about coming to know contemporary art. Here is art that speaks about our contemporary experience. This is the stuff we should be engaged in most, and yet a lot of people have a hard time getting into it. Is there something about this exhibit maybe that will draw us in and make it easier for us to understand what's happening?
Well, I have to just give all credit to the North Carolina Museum of Art. Linda Daugherty, the curator there, Larry Wheeler, the director, they have installed this show in a really spectacular way. And so I think that just by walking into the spaces, you're blown away by how they use, this is their old building where the exhibit is currently on view, and it's just stunning. And then the works really do push you. But I would say not only push you, they pull you. So there's a real sense of interactivity in these works. One of the, when you were talking about Hank Willis Thomas, I was particularly moved by his Unbranded series. Literally what he's done is he's looked at advertisements in magazines and that feature African-Americans between 1968 and 2008. And he has taken all of the labels, all of the text off of the advertisements. And so you're confronted with these images that at one point perhaps were selling macaroni and cheese or some sort of product. But now we only have that image. And he lays these out in a chronological time period from 68, 69, all the way to 2008. And it's a brilliant kind of a postmodern kind of statement about media and on the power of it.
And mixed media pieces as well, a new large installment, including the work of Leonardo Drew, his number 25. Describe that.
Well, I think Southerners might really resonate with this piece. This is literally an 8-foot tall, 13-foot wide pile of cotton and wax that's been kind of put together to form almost like a wall. No information, no title. It's just called Untitled. And yet, when you look at it, when you walk around it, you see the cotton, and you kind of see the textures, and it's beautiful. And yet, you know, coming from this part of the world, one can't help but think about the history and all of the stories that revolve around cultivation, good and bad. And so this is a good example of an artist being able to just use a material to invoke an idea.
Invoke and almost invite you to do what you may not, which is to touch. Right.
Do not touch in the museum.
Do not touch. But the idea that this fraught part of our history, the
Absolutely.
Part we cannot get closest to, is something the artist has invited us to actually physically
Absolutely.
Touch.
Yes. Right. And it's beautiful when you walk in front of this object or walk around it. You know, something that seems so ordinary and everyday takes on another kind of dimension by putting it in an exhibition space.
And again, Titus, when we talk about go ahead, you had something you were going to say.
Well, actually, I was going to mention one of the painters, Kehinde Wiley, whose work I think is just absolutely amazing, but not only by its size, but by its content. And he has three pieces that are there. One is, of course, a triptych. There are two other very, very large pieces. They're powerful, and it's amazing what he does with his work, because he draws on figures that are from the old masters, and he paints it with an African-American character in this particular situation. And it's amazing work with contemporary dress, but still there's all of this linkage to the paintings of, say, Titian, for an example. And the sheer size makes it noticeable, or rather, you can't pass it without stopping.
And we have talked only about men so far. There are women in this exhibit as well. One of the most exciting, perhaps, Carol Walker, who's known for her black paper silhouettes. What is her? Now, she talks more directly in these about race, gender, and identity.
You know, Kara hits the scene in the mid-1990s. She takes this very genteel tradition of the silhouette. You know, we've seen these images in Victorian picture books of cutouts of people's profiles, little children, puppy dogs. But with Carol Walker, her silhouettes are not sweet, innocent little scenes. They're scenes of violence, of brutality, of sexual abuse, and she does it on a tremendous scale. The piece that's in 30 Americans is literally 7 feet by 55 feet. It is a tour de force called Camptown Ladies. And again, the Southern kind of mythology is being played on here, but done in a brilliant, absolutely brilliant way. And again, the North Carolina Museum installs it and gives it so much space and breadth that you are able to move from one wild scenario to another as you work your way. And cutting silhouettes is not easy. I just try to cut out of black paper, you know, something and have it look like something. It's more than a notion.
Something in motion. There's a great deal of energy, kinetic energy in those silhouettes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like a panorama. It's like almost like a 19th century panorama where you walk from one end to another. Just that this is not, you know, a story of progress as much as a story of regress.
Regress, right. Well, another woman who is featured is Micheline Thomas, influenced by the way sexuality is portrayed, particularly in the area of blaxploitation.
Yeah, when you look at her pieces, you have kind of a flashback to Pam Grier, to Cleopatra Jones. Also, you flash back to Matisse, though, because Micheline uses colors and the juxtaposition of materials in an interior with a body kind of splayed in the middle of that in a way that reminds you of a beautiful work by Henri Matisse. Instead of it being, though, French, it's definitely a 1970s blaxploitation fantasy.
And this is one of those great ways that the museum was hoping to use that old building when the brand new gorgeous building was built.
I'll tell you, in this old space, that new building comes to life, and I'm so glad that Larry uses this space in the way that he's used it.
Larry Wheeler, the director, and Titus, you know, again, getting back to the idea that the form tells us a lot. So much of what we care about in contemporary art is the way imagery is used to kind of shape our thinking. That's what contemporary art does for us. It uses, doesn't it? I mean, that's one of the things, if you have a hard time getting your head around it, you're looking at the way you're being manipulated or used, in many cases. I mean, I'm not saying all.
Well, the most amazing thing that I find about contemporary art is that it allows a visual passage for us to actually interrogate our own lives and the space in which we exist in and how we exist in that space. And one of the things that I hope to do when I do my community group tour is to create an atmosphere where the viewers can dialogue, where they can get familiar with the iconography. And in my opinion, this exhibition is replete with iconography, and hopefully with some sufficient prompting, make certain that they interrogate everything that's within the frame, whether it's a photograph or a painting.
And I'm sure that you're going to get into that in some of the conference and the public discussion that you're going to moderate. I want to thank both of you for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Richard Powell is John Spencer Bassett Professor of Art and Art History at Duke. Titus Brooks Higgins is a photographer based in Durham. 30 Americans exhibit currently on display at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. See it through September 4th. Titus Higgins is going to lead a discussion group about the exhibit at the museum May 17th, 10 a.m. For more information, visit ncartmuseum.org. Coming up, we traveled 10 miles past normal with the young adult author, Frances O'Rourke Dowell. Stay with us on The State of Things.